17, verse 3 says, the fine pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. And I think the song that the Lord laid on my heart is just a reminder to me that my prayer should be that the Lord would refine me to be more like His Son.
Here with you and worship with you this morning. We will be in Psalms chapter number 51. Also add to your prayer list, Sister Carolyn Kraut. John's last name?
Kozar.
Wow. Miss that one bad. John Kozar family, Brother Jim as well, and death of John. They need our prayers right now as well. So it's good to see all of you here. Glad to have visitors with us here this morning. If it's your first time visiting with us, we trust you'll have a blessed time worshiping with us today. We hope to see you come back and spend some more time with us and get to know us. And if you're a returning visitor, we pray that you'd please Continue to be faithful. Let the Lord place you where He wants you to work and operate in His work. And if it's here, we'd love to have you be a part of what the Lord is doing. And part of what the Lord is doing is a vacation Bible school coming up July the 28th through 31st. And we have some of these cards over here on the first row. If you have a neighbor, some kids in the neighborhood, you know, that has needs some Jesus time. I don't know about you, if there's ever done, then I just need some Jesus time, Brother Ray. And so if you've got some kids that'd be interested in it, or some parents that'd be interested in letting us babysit their kids for a couple hours every night in the evening, tell them like this. You can bring your kids, drop them off from 6 to 8, and you and your husband can go out to dinner, come back and pick them up at 9 o'clock, and free babysit. We don't care excuses. We just need them under the sound of God's Word. You know, I'm joking with you about that, but we're not really here to babysit. It's all about Jesus, but we need your help with this. We really do. It's coming up really quick, so there's plenty of those to pass out. Tell your neighbors about them, your friends. If you work at some place that would allow you to put a couple on the counter, you know, ask the manager and leave them there and put them where kids can be find them. And we're looking forward for a good time. That's July the 28th through the 31st, 6 o'clock in the evening to 9 o'clock at night, the whole week there. All right, let's go to Psalms chapter number 51. Now, Psalms chapter 51, I believe personally, this is a psalm with which we all can identify with. Now, our life may not be as messed up as King David's life was. I mean, King David had a pretty rough go at it there for a while. You know, he really did. He wasn't where he should have been. How many of you ever got in trouble not being where you should have been? The Bible says King David, at a time when kings would go forth to war, King David decided to stay back. Well, King David stayed back, and before you know it, he's looking down upon the roof, and there is a young lady named Bathsheba. He requests her company, and the end of the story of the night is she is with child. She comes and tells him. He calls back for the husband, Uriah. Uriah comes. He tries to trick David. You see how sin just keeps going downhill. David tries to trick him. He puts the bottle to his mouth. He gets him a little drunk there, and hoping that he would go in to his wife. But Uriah stayed on the front porch. He says, what's going on with this guy? He said, hey, how can I go in unto my wife when my brethren are out there fighting the battle of the Lord, and the ark is out the battle? What am I going to do? And so that didn't work out. So King David, in his downward spiral, he said, listen, I know what I can do now. I'll send a letter to Joab. Joab will tell the battle at the hottest spot of the area. He'll advance where Uriah will be, and he'll tell everybody but Uriah at a certain sound or call, y'all fall back and leave Uriah standing there. And that's what happened. Guess who took the letter? Uriah. Wow, what deception. I mean, this is bad. I don't think our lives are that bad. Wait a minute. The Bible says that we've broken one law, we've broken them all. So in King David's horrific life would separate him from his God, remember it was disobedience in the Garden of Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eve that caused Adam and Eve, Garden of Eden, that caused Adam and Eve to be rebuked and chased out of the garden, which resulted in the fall of all men. So I think we can look at this and we read it, verses 1 through 13. We'll get into this real quick and spend a little time just surveying this chapter. I think over the next month, all the way up to September, I tell you what I need you to be praying about. In September, I'm trying to get a missionary for every Sunday of the month. I've got, we had them all covered. I just had one cancel on me. And we're going to have a missionary in every Sunday of the month except the middle Sunday, where we're going to have an international banquet here at the church. And so be praying about that. But I think up until that time, from now until then, I think we're going to just ferret through the book of Psalms for a little while. Every Sunday morning, we're going to be in the book of Psalms somewhere, not in a particular order, but we're going to be looking at different chapters. So be praying about September and our missionary emphasis month there, that we can get that settled in. Psalms chapter 51, verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Verse 6. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. There are several things that I noticed as we read through this here chapter was that sin is always a downward spiral. Always. Just constantly a downward spiral. And then it robs you of joy. You get involved in sin, dear friend. Let me tell you something. You're not going to have the joy of the Lord. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Is it one of them joy? Okay, you quench the Spirit of God, you're going to be robbed of joy. You're going to be robbed of joy. And then it's going to harden you to the point, dear friend, where it's going to take some deep purging in your life. That's why he says there, purge me with hyssop. What is that? You know, the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. I mean, it gets down into the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so as I see this, it's downward. It just keeps going downward. Started with something with David where he should have been somewhere and he wasn't, and it just went downhill from there. And then his joy. He lost that joy. He didn't want to be around the things of God, the place of God. Where was the things? Where was the presence of God in the nation of Israel? The Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God. Anybody close to God wanted to be where the ark was at. And Uriah said, listen, how can I do this without, go in unto my wife and enjoy the marriage bed? And God's out yonder somewhere. And so I noticed that then the hardness there. And so this is where sin ends up. And so we can all, identify with this. How can that be so? Because Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says what? We are all sinners. Every last one of us are guilty. Every last one of us are guilty. We're all in need of mercy. Listen to what he said there in verse 1. Have mercy upon me. Have mercy. And so we can all identify, all of us are sinners. I have not in my life understood why it is that some folks try to get into the Bible and try to strip and twist and change and make Scripture fit a lie. That one day we're going to all be on this earth without sin if we just become holy enough. Not going to happen on this earth, dear friend. Amen. There's coming a day in the moment of the twinkling of an eye. We which are born again, bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're God's child, that the trump of God shall sound. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with those that are dead, shall come up out of the grave, and we shall ever be with the Lord. We shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkle of an eye. There's coming a day, dear friend, where this old body will lay down that sinful flesh and desire. But not right now. Because the Bible says in 1 John, if anybody says he doesn't have sin, the Bible says he is a liar.
That's right.
A liar. So we can all identify with this. So that we're clear on that. All of us, sinners before God, need God in our life. It paints a very sad picture as you look at it. David's sin there as it spiraled down out of control until the point that that Nathan the prophet had to show up there in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and tell him a story about a rich man with some sheep, a poor man with one sheep or one lamb, and the rich man had a visitor come to town, and the rich man didn't want to bother with his sheep, and he wanted to keep his numbers up, so he went across the road and took the poor man's sheep and killed him and slayed him and ate and fed his visitor. And King David was wroth. He was mad. I'm telling you, he was something mad. He was fierce. And guess what happened? Nathan said, "David, you're the man. You've done this. You're the one." And he confronted him with that. You know, the Bible said, not the Bible, Matthew Henry said this. Matthew Henry said, "Though the heart is overwhelmed, yet it may be lifted up to God in prayer." And I'm going to tell you, sin will overwhelm you. Sin will overwhelm you. You understand the cost of sin. There was a great cost of sin. God had to give His only begotten Son to pay the sin debt which you and I rightfully owe. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so sin will overwhelm you, but I'll tell you, there's times that other things will overwhelm you. Sin, dear friend, when you recognize your life and you're locked up and you're in bondage once again with sin, dear friend, in order to help you to have a straight B-path to the throne room of God, asking for forgiveness and presenting yourself forgiveness. And verses 1 through 2, 1 and 2, I notice David there crying out for a cleansing. And we need a cleansing, dear friend. The Bible, I mean, listen. Evil is called good, and good is called evil on every hand around us. Verse 1 and 2, David said, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of the tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." Now here's the language of the day. Here's the language. This is King David realizing and crying out for sin, understanding that it was a painful situation. Not only was it a painful situation, it was an embarrassing situation he found himself in. And sin doesn't care what your status of life is. When it's found out, be sure your sin will find you out. It's embarrassing, dear friend. It really is. And so here it is, and David, but he's calling, I said, "Lord, have mercy on me according to thy loving kindness, according to thy multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and my sin." Transgression, iniquity, and sin. You know what we call them today? "Oh, Brother Ray, I made a mistake. Oh, I messed up a little bit, Brother Bill. You know, Brother Jim, I had this fault that overtook me." Dear friend, we've got to get to the point where we understand it is sin. In all of our circles, in all of our churches, in all of our pulpits, men of God are talking about mistakes and faults and you know, that's just the failure. I'm wired that away. No, dear friend, it is sin.
Amen.
It is sin. And we got to get to the point where we realize that what God said is true. Let everybody else be found a liar. God, David understood it, dear friend. You're talking about somebody was in sin. I wouldn't dare ask you to stand up right here and say, "Hey, Pastor, I am right where David was at." I wouldn't dare ask you that. But we got to, you know what happens? When I make a mistake, what are we trying to do? Just ease up the penalty. For the wages of sin is death. Not the wages of a mistake, not the wages of a failure. We got to own it. We got to own it. I'm telling you, different. When we say, "I made a mistake," well, you know, sometimes we justify or we clarify or we subsidize it with, you know, "If I hadn't have been with so and so, I wouldn't have done that." Can't justify it, dear friend. We can't. We cannot get to David. I mean, he cried out for a cleansing. The conscience of the king, dear friend, had been awakened to the fact that he had sinned against God. And I make mistakes with Dick. I make mistakes with Brother Bernie. I make mistakes with Brother, you know, that's a mistake. You know, I call Brother Jim, Brother Bernie. That's a mistake, dear friend. But when we go directly against Scripture, when it's written in black and white, and God said, well, Pastor, you know, the Bible is like ages of ages old, and you know, it cannot be as valid today as it was. I'm going to tell you, dear friend, it's valid today. It is relevant today. And we look at it, we see it, and we hear it, and we have Scripture, and you know, we said, we got to be like David. We got to be awakened to the fact that I have sinned. And my ultimate sin, dear friend, is against God. So we justify a little bit. We make mistakes and we call it failures and we try to ease it up and make it sound good, dear friend. That's why we stay in bondage. Sin, it caused spiritual separation. In the book of Isaiah, two Sundays ago, we looked and the Bible talked about our sins and our iniquity has shortened the hand of God and stopped up God's ear. That's what sin does. That's what sin does. And David cried out to the Lord. He said, listen, I need to be cleansed. Listen to what C.H. Spurgeon said. Pardon of sin must always be an act of pure mercy. And therefore, the awakening sinner flees to his pardoning Lord. You know, the Bible says that if you want to have forgiveness, you got to ask for forgiveness. But it doesn't stop there because we always want to live in 1 John chapter number 1, verses 8 and 9. He's faithful and just. Proverbs says that you must also forsake your sins. Many of us want to drag it along like we're lioness dragging our tile. Or blanket. You know, our sins, our righteousness are as filthy rags. And so he cried out for our cleansing. We must face our sins before we are even willing to seek forgiveness. You know what most of the time it is? Here's the most time, Brother Jason, this is what happened. We're simply sorry we got caught. We're simply sorry that for the embarrassment of the moment. We're not sorry for the sin and the brokenness of God's heart. We're not sorry that our sins and our iniquities has separated us from a God of righteousness, a God that's holy. We're just simply sorry that we got caught. We got to get to the point where we realize we need a cleansing. And then I notice here that with that cleansing, it takes some confession. Look at verse number 3. Remember what I told you, you've got to own it. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. So you have David crying out for a cleansing. But before we can ever get cleansed, dear friend, we've got to know where we're dirty. We've got to know where we've messed up. It's not enough just to say, well, I'm a sinner. God, would you forgive me? I'm a sinner. Yes, that is part of it. But different when we have transgressed God's law, when you say, God, I am an angry man. And anger does not promote the righteousness of God. Man's anger doesn't. Lord, forgive me for being an angry man. Lord, forgive me for not having self-control. And own it. Well, Pastor, you know, if my wife hadn't have been nagging me about cleaning up my clothes and getting them in the laundry basket and help, I wouldn't have yelled at her. So that's your wife's fault that you had dirty clothes on the floor? What'd she do? Strip you down and have her wait with you at the door and leave them there? No, dear friend, you took them off and threw them there. And she's worked as hard as you have all day long. If not harder. Especially if she has kids running around. And you come on to throw it here, and then you're mad at her because she asked you to put your dirty socks into the hamper? Oh, dear friend, you need to confess that thing. Because that ain't no sin. You tell me anger is not sin? Fighting and bitterness and strife? This is sin. You know, this is the whole thing. If I am not stealing or robbing somebody or, you know, busting somebody's window out in the Walmart parking lot because they dinged my car, then it's really not sin. Oh, dear friend, it is sin. And we got to confess it. We got to own it. If we ever want cleansing, we got to know where we're dirty. How many of you ever come in and your mom asks you, hey, did you take a bath today? Or you take a shower today? And she looks behind the ear and there's dirt and gum all back behind your ear. Then she says, no, you're not clean. Go take a bath. Go wash it behind your ear. But you go in there and you wash off two big toes. You come back out and behind the ear is still dirty. That's what generalizing sin does. God wants us clean. He said in His Word, be ye holy, for I'm holy. But we need to recognize where we have sinned against the holy and righteous God and say, God, I have sinned in this area. I am a sinful person in this area. I'm covetous. I look at my neighbor's car and I see the car that they have and I say, I need that car. I want that car. And so I have the green eye of jealousy. I have a jealous demon above, and I'm looking at it. God, I am a covetous man. Confess it. Own it. In whatever area it is. If you want confession, if you want cleansing, you have to first confess. Yes, generally say, Pastor, I've sinned against so many people. I don't know. Exactly. You know what happens when we've sinned against so many that we haven't gotten right against? We've gotten too used to sinning. You know, we should take care of some things pretty quick, right? I mean, pretty quick. Bible says, you know, not let the sun go down upon our wrath, right? There's some things. Listen, if I sin against Brother Judd, and I'm gossiping against him, I should go to him. Because if I don't go to him, dear friend, it's going to be easier to gossip against Brother Jim. If I don't go to Brother Jim and I don't go to Brother Judd, guess what? I'm going to be easier to gossip over here and gossip over there. Gossip's a sin, by the way. And men, women aren't the only one that do it. Oh, get them, preacher. Them wagging tongues of them women. They're always on the phone, always texting, always. Listen, men do their fair share, if not more. If not more. So we got to get it right. We got to own it. We got to confess it and lay it out before God. You're not going to ask for forgiveness and run to Jesus on a regular basis different if you're not willing to own it. You know what we do? We pass the buck, just like Adam and Eve. God, if you hadn't gave me this woman, wait a minute. He was sad just a few verses up that he didn't have nobody. He looked around. The donkey had a female donkey, and the zebra had a female zebra, and the gorilla had a female gorilla, the chimpanzee. He looked up there, and there was an owl and a Mrs. Owl. And he looked over there at the parrot, and there's a Mrs. Parrot. He looked down the ground, there was a cricket and a Miss Cricket. He said, there's something right. God made him a helpmeet. Then all of a sudden, he's blaming her. And eventually, blaming God. God, the woman you gave me. Passing the buck. That's what happens if we don't run to God with total ownership. David would have never got his life right, dear friend, if he hadn't owned what he did. You say, well, what happened, Pastor? He never, ever got away from the natural consequences of his sin. But he stood in forgiveness before God. Listen to me. When we do sin, there is sometimes natural consequences that we're just going to have to live with. And we can't say, you know, well, God, you really don't love me because I asked for forgiveness, but, you know, I'm still suffering through this. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. It's just natural. Sin has consequences to it, dear friend. Now, notice you get crying for cleansing, a confession. But then what does it do? Look in verses 10 through 13. When you ask for cleansing, you confess, you own it. Verses 10, create in me a clean heart. You start worrying about yourself. Oh God, renew a right spirit within me. It's not my brother, my sister, oh Lord. It's me, oh Lord. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways. Sinners shall be converted unto thee. I notice in my own life, dear friend, when I began to seek a cleansing, a true cleansing of God, if I recognize in my life that there are sinful things that are going on in my life, and I ask God to help me, and I begin to confess those things, along with that comes some commitment, some surrender to the will of God. And you've got to commit yourselves. Because if you don't, the dog will always return to the vomit. The pig and the sow will always return to the mud. The Bible warns us time and time again not to be entangled once again with the sins that we were in bondage in and entangled in once again. And so there has to be a commitment to the work of God. I think I said this probably 3 weeks ago. How many of you, and I asked the same question, how many of you have woke up and said, God, if you'll just get me out of this situation, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. You get everything corrected, everything worked out. God begins to move in your life, and then before you know it, that commitment's out the window. No commitment. No commitment. He says here, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit with me. Cast me not away from thy presence. And take not the Holy Spirit. Restore unto me the joy. Lord, I'm not joyful anymore. I don't want to be around the things of God. I don't want to care about the things of God. I don't want to be around the people of God. And God, restore the joy of thy salvation unto me. And then he says there in verse 13, then, here's the test. You know how you know you're right with God? You're very concerned with others' state of being with God. Then what? Then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. You notice the commitment? Then. Ask yourself this. Am I right with God? Am I right with God? Have you been trying to teach sinners? Have you been trying to reach transgressors? Have you been trying to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? David is sick in sin here, dear friend. Sick in sin. David is painfully suffering through the consequences of the sin that he has committed personally. And now he determines with his own heart. He says, Lord, if you will cleanse me, I'm confessing my sins. Then I will commit unto thy work and I will share with others what God and what you have done in my life. Here's the amazing thing. Brother Ryan, this is an amazing thing. God, a holy and righteous God, meets sinners exactly where they're at. In their sinful state. And then when they trust Christ, their personal Lord and Savior, He begins to work a work in their heart. A work in their heart. Go back up there. Where does it say David? Where was David looking for? Verse number 6. Look what it says here. Behold, thou desirest truth in where? I'm going to tell you, dear friend, it's high time we as God's people quit living like we know God when our heart is far from God. The heart is where salvation begins. Heart in the righteousness of God begins to work. David understood that it wasn't the It wasn't the fornication. It was his heart. The fornication was a result of his heart. Do you understand this? We need to be changed from the heart. David said, get in the heart, because, listen, the fruit is not the problem. The root is the problem. Get in the heart. And I'm going to tell you, dear friend, when your heart is right, you want nothing but what God wants. What does God want? This is what God says. I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the mind of God. That's the heart of God. You know how you know when you're right with God? You're concerned with where someone else is going to go and spend eternity. I know it's easy not to think about eternity because it's a long ways off. Brother Jim, I think we're praying for about 9 families right now. They're in eternity. You realize everybody that died today, that died this morning, had plans to do something today? Eternity is not that far off. We all have an appointment with death. But greater than this appointment with death, and you know, I'm thankful. I really, to be honest with you, I don't fear the appointment with death. I kind of concerned with the process, but I hope it goes and takes quickly, you know, and all that. That doesn't concern me. I have a greater appointment than death. That is that I am an ambassador for Christ. That's greater than the appointment to me. That dying is the appointment that I have as an ambassador. And so when I reach out and I look and I live and I spend time in this world, I have to understand I'm not of this world. I'm passing through this world. Oh, Pastor, why did you preach on such a sinful thing? Because I want you to know that none of us are beyond reach. None of us. But I also want you to know that your little white Sunday school sins are no different than David's dark, black, deep, horrific sins that separate you from God. And you need confession. You need cleansing as much as David. I need it. I need it. Daily, we need to seek God's face. Why? Because people are depending upon us. Vacation Bible School is coming up. We should be concerned about the kids of our neighborhood. We don't know that we reach one of those kids right tomorrow and then grandma starts coming, right? Don't know, Manny. Reach Manny, we reach Jordan, Sophia, and before we know it, Miss Sue, and Brother Dick is here. You want evidence? It's right before you. God's ways work. But you have to be right with God to be used with God. Let's stand our feet.